It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The busiest 60 minutes of your day, the Jason Wilde, Tim Van Boren, Homer Hour, both have their own separate Yingling hotline because Jason Wilde is three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Tim Van Boren four-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. They will both be on. I did not watch it, but Spain defeated France 2-0. I'm aware that I think you're supposed to say nil. Not there. It's nothing. I won't say 2-0. And I can't really say if how someone is surprised. I'll defer to people who have an accent because I don't really know how big a surprise it was. France was clearly the favorite, but the U.S. is out. I am spending time trying to decide how big a World Cup championship would be if the United States ever won one. And that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be important because that's based on how big a fan you are. It's just a question of trying to judge where an event fits. And internationally, there's no way it would be the biggest United States victory ever. The only other national events to me that are of note would be something in the Olympics. And hockey would certainly be of some value, the importance that the U.S. has with playing National Hockey League players against other professionals, Canada otherwise. But I would say internationally, the World Cup would be bigger. So for the U.S. to win, I would say, if it would happen, I would say it would be the greatest achievement of the United States in international competition. The closest will always be not the importance of it, but the U.S. beating the Russian hockey team in 1980, not only because they won, but because a bunch of college students defeated an international team. The Russians that I don't believe had lost an international competition in like 10 years. So that would rank as an incredible upset. If I, for example, had defeated Bjorn Borg in tennis, that would arguably have been the greatest upset in the history of sports in the world, but that doesn't necessarily mean it would be that important. So I don't think that winning a gold medal in hockey, even against the Russians, would equal the winning the World Cup. Why do I state that? Because I think the fundamental problem to me is that the U.S. doesn't want to win badly enough. They'd like to win, but there clearly has to be a better way to go about it than has been done, given that the U.S. has made it to the quarterfinals only once in literally the last 100 years. That's not acceptable. And not acceptable if you view that winning a World Cup would be the greatest sport, international, be the greatest sports achievement in the history of the United States. I don't know. I'll have to do this as a discount liquor Twitter poll question. You put together whatever you have to say this would be the greatest achievement ever in athletics in the history of the United States. And so what do we have to do? Because this doesn't cut it. No, you can't find it literally impossible to make the final eight. Eight! They're not even asking to win the damn thing. Make the final eight. They've done it once in the last, I don't know, 70, 100 years. 95 years. 2010 or, two, no, 2002. They make the quarterfinals. That's it. There's no way you can say that the United States takes it seriously and be no better than that. So somebody of importance, I don't know who that would be, to say, now this is the goal. The goal is to do what's ever necessary to win the World Cup. And what do we have to do? We certainly have enough. The United States certainly has enough money. But however it's been done, it has to be done differently. But I don't think that I don't think there's any indication based on the behavior of the United States that we've wanted to do it that badly. I'll have to get a soccer expert. I don't know. Who would you put in charge? Who would you put in charge of the United States seriously attempting to win the World Cup? I will defer to that because I don't know who it is. But all I know is I refuse to believe if there was the thought by important people, the greatest achievement in the history of United States athletics would be to win a World Cup. That'll have to be that'll have to be the discount leader Twitter poll question. Homer says to win a World Cup would be winning a World Cup would be the greatest athletic achievement in the history of the United States. 1-800-990-3776. And that doesn't mean I'm a fan. This is not about being a fan. This is about judging the importance of winning a World Cup and refusing to believe that we can suck this badly if it was that important. I'm just taking for granted that we're not going to lose to Guay very often. That would be Ura and Para. There are other countries clearly have an importance of soccer, and soccer's never going to be the most important sport in America. I'm not asking that it is. I'm asking that somebody decide that to win the World Cup would be the greatest athletic achievement in the history of the country, and that we need to start going about trying to accomplish that. I mean, so there it is. 1-800-990-3776. We'll see if C-Cat can put it up. I'm at the I have to get the official title, the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Golf Tournament. I was here. I talked about it before the show started. They're getting together now. I think that's the official title. It's a great event. It was really hot. I said that, I said to somebody, if I die and go to hell, I'm going to say it was hotter here. I don't anticipate going to hell, but that's exactly what this is. It was not a breeze. They did amazing things. All the water and things were available off the charts, and they gave us one of these little fans where you can squirt water on you and it has a fan. I don't know how much it costs. I gotta get one of those. That should be available on any golf cart in Florida everywhere you go. Because as hot as it was here when I was in Fort Myers recently, it was even hotter. We'll be talking to Jason Wilding in just a little bit because now that I feel so guilty of saying I never read his stuff on Channel 3000, I've now read it. And when he put the Trey Smackdown, that made me realize the Packers are doing everything, not for this season, but for the following season. They have the injury, but there's no way, if you believed you could win the Super Bowl this year, that you would dump a veteran kicker and bring in a rookie. He's just not going to do it. I don't know. The other guys mentioned other teams. I look at that. I just don't think you're going to do that. I don't know that they had a kicker like McManus, and I realize that he sucked at the end of last year. But are you telling me you'd rather have Trey Smack than McManus as your kicker? Really? You know anything about him. College kicker, first year. You think your team is capable of winning the Super Bowl? I'm not. And there's no way to know how good he is until the end of the year. The problem in Green Bay is the kick in the with the winds and then also the cold. How you get? You're not going to know. You're willing to risk that in a season which you think you can win the Super Bowl? No, I think they believe they're a year away. But I'll address that with Jason. And it doesn't mean they're going to be bad, but that's just an indication to me. Yeah, we'll figure things out this year. We'll get better, and then he'll be fine by next year. Won't have the same worries, and you wouldn't put up with those worries if you thought you could win it this year. That can be addressed as well. We'll talk with Jason. And yes, they've brought in some veterans, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you expect those veterans to make a difference this year. I would say injuries may have also contributed to the Packers believing that everything they do tends to focus more on 27 than 26. But Jason Wilde will address that. I want to thank everybody who came to the ESPN Milwaukee golf outing, and they're doing some sort of celebration. Our team finished 3 under because I gave our team 300. I thought that's probably what we could have done because we invented new rules for me to kind of decide what would be a good way to have certain events, charity events, golf events, and make it even better than they are now. I'm not ready to disclose those, but one was if you're way ahead of the group behind you, when you're putting, you can take as many putts as you want until that next group gets on the tee. So you don't have to have mulligans. We made a birdie and took it as a birdie with 42 putts. We tried to putt 42 times before we made it, which is fine because the group behind us wasn't on the tee of the hole what we were on. So we should be able to putt. We don't need mulligans. We just putt wherever we want. When they come to the tee, we're done. And because the group in front of us got so slow, I'm not complaining, but because they got slow, then we couldn't finish as quickly, and so we'd get on the green, and the other team would be on the tee. So, and this is not talking par threes. It's par three, par four, par five. Doesn't matter. The rules are the same. Now we only get 4 putts, and we just didn't birdie any holes when we had the limit of putts, which, of course, as you know, is the number. But it also allows teams that aren't as good to have a better score, maybe have a chance, so the good golfers don't win everything. In addition, because I'm 71, we played from the shortest tee on every hole, which I think is another rule that you should have, whatever determining factor you, however you want to do that, par threes. So technically, I believe we were 9 over. When we could putt as often as we needed, we got like 8 birdies in 9 holes, and then we were limited to 4 putts. I don't think we had a birdie after that, maybe 1. So we technically, by the Homer rules, were 9 under, but I put down 3 under because we're not going to win anyway, and the last thing I need is a debate. This is not as important as the U.S. deciding that they want to win the damn World Cup. Jason Wilde, next. Yes, all Packers all the time with Jason Wilde. Of course, he is 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. And, yes, he writes, well, I don't know if he writes it daily because I haven't been reading it that long for Channel 3000, and since I'm so embarrassed that I said I didn't read it and felt terrible, now I read it, and I will because I can't remove embarrassment from stupid things I've done. I don't need to give a list of the others that I remember, even though one goes as back as far as 8th grade. Joining us now is Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Good evening, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm good, Homer. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm fine. All right.
Your putting on 18 was not very good.
Well, I was putting with my 5-wood because I left my putter in my trunk, but I actually putted very well, and I was going to look to see if anybody has ever putted with
you. Putted very well for a guy putting with a 5-wood, or you putted very well just no matter.
Putted very well. No matter. I mean, I putted, I think,
really?
As well as I putt. Yeah, I have I don't putt very well, and
are you considering this as, is this like when the, like, I remember there was a phase where these pro golfers, on the PGA Tour would struggle, and they would like switch to one where it looked like they were like basically putting like they were sweeping with a broom, or the handle was really high.
Yeah. Oh, they still do that. There are different techniques that are now being used by the pros. A five wood is not one, so I suspect my my idea is flawed, and I'll go back to putting. But yeah, there have been a number of
attempts. But the results were good today.
The results are very good. So, I wanted to ask you, because now that I'm reading Channel 3000, and you had Trace Mack.
Basically out of guilt.
Totally out of guilt, yes. 100% out of guilt. I can't get over it.
I feel guilty. It's great.
No, I made myself. No one can make me feel guilty. I feel guilty. That if someone else makes me feel guilty, that doesn't have any effect whatsoever. I have to, in fact, feel guilty, and then it can never go away. I guess it's something. Everybody has something they have to live with. All right, Trace Mack is number 16.
And yeah, I thought, you think he should be higher or lower?
No, I don't know what he should be, but for them to, given that they had a veteran kicker who did finish poorly, and there's no way they think they can win the Super Bowl. There's no way you would risk that level on a rookie kicker that you know nothing about and you're never going to know anything about till late in the season, and you know from Mason Crosby how difficult it is with the wind, and so it just tells me I'm reinforced with all the things, and maybe you can do this on Channel 3000, that they're doing things like they're going to make a serious run, they want to get better, but the serious run will be in 27, not 26. And maybe that's also because of the injury that they have, but By the following year, he could be fine. So what do you think of my theory?
I couldn't agree with you more, which pains me to say, as you know.
Yeah, like, because you're the one who said they're going to be good this year, but not really good. I've forgotten it. But,
right. So they've locked up all their guys. They've got guys that are going to develop in their roles this year. I still think they're going to be a good team. I don't know if they'll win the division or not. Now, again, I also have the bias of my time covering this team. You know, even the years before I started on the beat, you know, 92, they don't make the playoffs under Holmgren. 93, they make the playoffs and win a game. 94, they make the playoffs and win a game. 95,
couldn't beat the Cowboys.
Right. 95, they knock off the defending champs and then have a lead in the NFC Championship game in Dallas, ultimately lose. But then the next year, everybody and their brother knew they were going to be in the Super Bowl. It was a matter of
right, and if Dallas had not been a historically good team, I think they could have easily won in 95.
Agreed.
That was a special team, and they were unlucky. I don't know if Ron Wolf would have
been
that.
They built that direction, right? And I feel like this team, now that they've kind of put together what their core looks like with, you know, Tucker Kraft's going to get his extension. They've extended Reed. They've extended Watson. Love has 2 years left on his deal before that 28 season where his cap number balloons to like $72 million. The way the structure of the Micah Parsons deal is after his trade.
And that injury, I think, is a huge part of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, look, Micah Parsons was very cautious when we talked to him in early June. To not say, you know, I'm planning on being back for that Bears game in week 5. Because everyone, and I think there's a lot of people, myself included, whose thought process was, well, he's definitely going to be on PUP for the first 4 games. And then maybe he comes back for that Bears game on a snap count where they just use him as a situational pass rusher. And maybe they do that the following week against the Cowboys. But I never expected him to be 100% go after 4 games because of the timing of his injury. But I thought he would be. And now, you know, you look at the stuff that his brother has put out on social media, the fact that Micah did not come, you know, he was very cautious about answering our questions. He went out of his way to say, look, we're going to play the Bears a second time. I don't see the point in rushing back. Like, everything, the evidence that we have or the breadcrumbs that we're following would indicate that it is definitely no sure thing that he's going to play before week 7 or week 8. It's possible, but I wouldn't even go so far as to say it's probable. So if you only have him for half the season, what kind of setbacks will you experience before you have your closer that end up coming home to roost when you get to the end of the season and you're a game short of winning the division, for example, right? So that's kind of my thought process behind it. And I also do believe in you build towards something in the NFL. There are instances where, like New England this year, they get a new coach. Drake May is unlocked by Josh McDaniels, has a great year in his second year, and you have more success than maybe even people in New England expected. But more often than not, you got to build toward that. And I think that's where they're at. That said, the one thing, and everyone's been talking about Jordan Love so much the last several days because of the ranking on ESPN, and to me, he has every opportunity this year with the people that he should have around him and the big if the offensive line plays at a high level, which I don't know if it's capable of or not, hinges on Jordan Morgan for one. But if he has a chance to really put together the kind of season where you're like, okay, this guy's better than just good or pretty good or whatever. Like now he's starting to look like a guy who fits the lineage behind Favre and Rodgers. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I feel like the opportunity is there for it to happen.
Yeah, and I discussed this with Brian, and I think when they discuss the quarterbacks, it very easily is going to depend on which team is better. Like, you know, so, yeah, didn't do this. Well, how good is the team? And you've lived that and seen with Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they won when their team was so good.
Right. The thing you talk about was the defenses. Right. For so many years.
And there may have been another year, I'll defer to you, there may have been another year where the team was that good. It never was statistically defensively, but you've mentioned where they were that good. And so I just think they're going to complain. People are going to argue about the quarterbacks, and that's fine. I'm going to guarantee you the issue is going to be more about the team than the quarterback, even though the quarterback will get all the attention. And is either one of those quarterbacks capable of carrying the team when the team is as good? I don't think so, because of the other talented teams in the NFC.
And Tausch made a great point about this, and that was simply that, look, if the Packers don't kick away the Bears games, no one is rating, and Jordan Love plays the exact same way he did. No one is putting Caleb Williams ahead of him. It's because of the result of that playoff game and the things that he did magically in the fourth quarter that he didn't do for three quarters. Does that necessarily make him a better quarterback? No, not necessarily. But I do think that, and you know, we've talked about this before too, the 2014 team is also a team that, because in the second half of the season, if you took the statistics of just the final eight regular season games,
they were top defense.
They were the number one defense in the league.
Yep.
And that's the difference between having a chance to be special and not. And that defense last year, there were times when you looked at them and they were special when Micah Parsons was closing out games for them. But once they lost him, and then they lost Cooper during the third quarter of that playoff game, they were nothing close to special.
Yeah, and so it's possible to me that they would think, well, if everything went well, maybe at the end of the season we'll be good enough with the injuries, Parsons, whatever. But they know that's going to require an incredible run given what the rules
well, and
force
the other reason
you
that I
if
look-
you're a 7 seed or a 6 seed.
Right, and the other thing, the other reason why I point toward 27 is because I firmly believe that they're going to remake the corner position, right? They've already started, right, with Cisse in the second round. I think they're probably going to continue to do that. That's why they, you know, again, I am pegged as the Keyshawn Nixon apologist, which I don't think I am.
I want to hold that role.
Yeah,
I'm ahead of you on that. No, I'm offended that people would say that anybody can be an apologist for him. People should thank him. They should send cards. Thanks for being better than anybody
has
thought.
Has a right to expect. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But they're not going to
imagine how bad they would be if he wasn't on the team.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Because so I want to take that job from you.
Okay. Well, you're good. It comes with a lot of social media heat, though.
I understand, which you know doesn't bother me near as much as you. But when anybody brings in, you say, that job is no longer mine. Homer has taken over as the Keyshawn Nixon apologist.
Let me refer you to my successor, Steve the Homer Truth.
Yes, yes, exact, perfectly done. I do have one other question for you because I know you got 1 minute left. Okay, and the other one you did in your top 20 on Channel 3000, it was Anthony Belton and, I don't know, is it
Jagger Burton, yep, yes.
Jagger Burton, okay.
Yes, Jagger Burton, Mick Jagger Burton.
Right, I'm a little upset with you because that's, you know, that's garbage. There's no competition. They're creating something, I guess, because they think that'll make Anthony Belton better. The guy hasn't even done anything for them to be able to say there's a competition. I think it's all made up. Burton has no chance, zero chance of starting ahead of Belton. Take it from there,
You're
Jason.
Doing the zero thing again. No, oh, I
excuse
would
me, apologize, 5%.
I would say this, because I think, and I was talking to this, or I was texting with Tom Oates about this, because he thought Burton, he thought Belton was too low. Because I always, because Oates, he's obviously, you're the GOAT of sports talk. He's the GOAT of columnists.
Yeah, yeah,
but like, I look at Belton and I don't, you know, I think Zach Tom's going to be ready for the opener, right? When I had my one-on-one with him during the off season, like, and him talking about how he wants to play in preseason games because he's so desperate to be ready for games. But you partially tear a patellar tendon, I don't know what the timeline is, and neither does he. I think there's a chance that they want to get Burton plenty of looks at right guard in case they have to start him at right guard because they're playing Anthony Belton at right tackle for the first, say, four games of the season. So I think...
Well, I believe that, but that's...
Right. But again, like, I can't... Like, I had to figure out a creative way to put... Because if Jagger Burton has to play, he does become one of their most important players because they can't...
No,
they
then...
Need him
no,
to play,
yeah.
Like, couch as a rookie.
That's top 20. That when you're asking or may need a rookie, that's like, it may be higher than top 20. With an offensive line that has issues, you could put Burton to me as number 10 in terms of needing him to be good enough to start at what? Right guard or right tackle?
Right.
Or what? Yeah.
Right guard. Right. And then they move Belton out to right tackle if they have to.
Okay, I got to go. Talk to you later. Thanks, Jason.
All right. Homer, take care. Be good.
I just trying something new. Like, I decide I have to go. I don't know how to kick somebody off without then feeling guilty about that. Burton, they may need him to start. Fine. Then say that this guy's so good, we think he could start it at a various position. But he ain't taking the job over Belton. If he would take the job, be because... Belton has to go somewhere else. That doesn't mean he's beating him out. There's no, they haven't done enough for them to have that opinion about him, or they would have said so from the time they drafted him. Find out if they said, like, this kid is good enough to start for us this season if we need to. I missed that if that actually was. Again, I want to thank everybody who came out to the ESPN Milwaukee, the Delzer Golf Outing. That's where I am right now. You never know when someone you care about might need a place like Curative Care. For more than a century, Curative Care has been helping children, adults, and families across southeast Wisconsin navigate developmental disabilities and find the support they need to thrive. What really stood out to me is that Curative Care doesn't just provide therapy. They help families every step of the way from early childhood through adulthood. They connect parents with resources, provide guidance during challenging times, and create a community where people truly belong. One parent said it this way: life is a bunch of curveballs. This place is constant. Yeah, and this is hard. Dealing with these things is hard. You need people that get it and care, and that is Curative. If you have a family member, friend, coworker, or neighbor who may be looking for answers, support, or services for a loved one with developmental disabilities, visit curative.org. They get it. It's hard. That's Curative, C-U-R-A-T-I-V-E, curative.org. Tim Van Vorn is not next. He's soon. I am next. The Jason Woolley, Tim Van Vorn, Homer Hour. I'm at the Bog where they had the, I guess it's still going on. The winners are celebrating elsewhere here at the Bog. The Dells are ESPN Milwaukee golf outing, and all the people deserve credit for getting it off and doing it well, even though it was incredibly hot. I have decided that I may attempt to be the person in the United States to lead the charge that the United States has to win the Men's World Cup, because it would be the greatest athletic achievement in the history of the country if they did it. Why would it be more important in the women? Because not everybody culturally has advanced female athletics to the same degree as the United States, so there is a slight edge. So that's still an incredible achievement. They've been very good. But to win the men's title would be an even greater accomplishment given, I don't know what the word is, given the world and how they determine athletics, or how many countries don't allow women to achieve the level athletically as they do in the United States, which means it's a little bit easier to win. Not easy, but easier. So in my thought about how to start this, because I want to emphasize, I don't even like soccer that much. They did do a soccer bobblehead, the Wave did, with my name. So there's a Homer bobble leg. With me kicking the ball. My daughter was a little bit bothered because she said, "You don't even like soccer. Why did they do that?" I don't know exactly why they did it. They made like 100 or 200, and I said, "Could I have a few?" And they said, "No." And I said, "But wait, it's my I'm sorry, we only got X number." And I said, "Well, then I want to buy more because maybe I could use it at auctions or different things." And they said, "I'm sorry, that's all we got." And so then they called me the next day and said, "We found out that we can get you some Homer bobble legs, bobbleheads, bobble legs, actually." And I said, "Great, $5. I said, "Fantastic." They said, "Minimum order is 1,000. I said, "You think I'm going to buy 1,000 Homer bobbles?" So my point is that this is not about, you could say, "Homer, you don't even care about soccer." This isn't about caring about soccer. This is caring about American United States athletics, and recognizing that even though it might not be a big deal to me, it would be the greatest athletic achievement in the history of the United States. And it's not acceptable that if it's that important and would be that important, that we can suck as badly as we do. And suck is the right word. Once since 1930 has the United States made it to the quarterfinals. That's just Final Eight. Once, 2002. That's not acceptable. Even if you don't really care about soccer. So I thought, all right, now I got to find someone to ask that it could tell me. So what does the U.S. have to do? And I was thinking of, he used to be the men's coach at Marquette, Louis Bennett. And I always liked Louis. Also, I think he played somewhat, maybe as a goalie or something. I don't know if he played in the Premier League or whatever. But he's like the shortest person I've ever met. Like, he's shorter than a fire hydrant. Actually, I'd like to see Louis Bennett versus Lee Trevino. I think they might be the two shortest, famous shortest people I've ever known. But anyway, so I may try to get in touch with Louis. This time's really weird. I haven't talked to him while. I hope he's alive still. He probably is. But Dad, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah. Homer says this is the most important thing athletically in the United States of America, to figure out and do whatever is necessary to win a World Cup, knowing that even if you start today, even if I don't care, that is still what should be done. And I don't know how many years it's going to take, but I can tell you this, you damn well better make the quarterfinals in 4 years or the program ain't working. They'll fire everybody we pick then. It shouldn't be that hard to make the quarterfinals, Final Eight. And they're probably going to expand it to 64, but that doesn't matter. They're just going to put in more bad countries, and that makes sense. All right, we got Tim Van Vorn coming up. I do want to mention, I got to get my partners here because I'm outside. Founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business for 130 years, Horicon Bank has been helping businesses across Wisconsin grow through commercial lending. Now that same local approach is here to serve the greater Milwaukee business community. Yeah, they're new in what they do, commercial lending. Financial requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support your cash flow. Because when it comes to commercial lending, Horicon Bank gets the job done, and they've been doing it for a long time other places. Now they're in Milwaukee. Visit Horicon Bank in New Berlin, Wauwatosa, Menominee Falls, Grafton, and West Bend. Horicon Bank together, doing good for 130 years. Member FDIC. Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports. Next.
The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVV.
It's Fox 6 Sports Director Tim Van Voren on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports on the Yingling Tim Van Voren Hotline, because he is four-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. And one I always love to ask on my ideas, because he creates a certain level of credibility that I know. Yeah, maybe I've gone too far. TVV, good evening. You ready to go?
I am, Homer. Are you playing today? Are you hitting it well?
I did play golf earlier today, and I was playing with Alex Stroph, who is not a very good golfer. Like, if he'd have played the round, he would have probably shot 150. But we're playing.
But it's not a round in that format, yeah.
Right, but that tells you the quality of most of his shots, right? So we're 45 yards away on the first hole, and he hits a chip. And he hits it like he's Scottie Scheffler. It was not only it's not like somebody kind of gets lucky, and it's like everything about it was perfect. He hits it to a foot away. Okay, like, this is not possible, but I saw it, and there's no way to exaggerate how incredible it was. And I said, it reminded me of when they say something happens, a blind squirrel finds an acorn. This was a dead squirrel finding an acorn. Now, what is the chance of that? And and those things where you've observed them, where you say, that's just unbelievable. I'll never see that again. There can be certain players. Or I wanted to ask you about some of my theories. So, yes, I played a little bit, but I'm 71. I'm old. I make rules up. I cheat. I just try to make it entertaining. And I came
up
with a
couple
new rules
contributing?
Today.
How about Alex contributing, though, on the very first hole? Then it's gravy the rest of the day.
Right. That wasn't the first hole. We started on 13.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Okay. But it doesn't matter. Okay, if you had told me there's a better chance that a unicorn will come down and play for us, there's no way to describe it. It can't happen. You've had this where somebody said, you go, no, it can't happen. Well, it just did. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's one of those things. And I emphasize, because I'm a big believer in this, it's forever. You can't take it away. He can shoot 500 the next five times he plays. He has
that
shot forever. And it's not made up. All right, questions. I believe the Brewers have a better chance to win the World Series than the Packers have to win the Super Bowl. Take it from there.
This is your theory?
No, that's my belief, because I think the Brewers are that good. I understand that the Dodgers are the good. I just think they're closer to winning the World Series as a team this year than the Packers are to winning the Super Bowl. Take it away.
I'll go with you, Homer. The thing with baseball, last year they got pretty fortunate. You get a top two seed. You win a series. You got a shot to get to the World Series if you win one more. I think you'd take that chances if you're the Brewers, but it's going to be hard to get there again. You know, you got to get that, top two seed. I think if you get a top two seed, you got a shot to do it if you're the Brewers. I think the Packers are a good team. They're not an elite team. This has been a Packers, summation for so long here. I think they're a very good team. I think they're a playoff team. I think things would really need to come together in a direction that I don't see at this point for them to be a Super Bowl team. And I don't think it's fluky to win a Super Bowl. I think you have to be the best team in your conference, at least.
And then I also, and I grant you, I'm obsessed with this, that I don't know how many years we're going to live with, and people are going to ask you, how the hell did John Schneider get away? Because he's already got what? Two Super Bowls since the Packers won theirs.
And, obviously, Green Bay native, interest in him as a general manager at one point, and interest in him as, he had interest in being the team president, for goodness sake.
Yes.
So,
and you mentioned, you think you're going to mention that now. Imagine how many times you're going to mention that in the next 5 years. Because they're going to do better in the next 5 years than the Packers are. It's a lock. This is what I'm. This is like betting $100. That's $98.
What? With his direction and their new ownership, is that
with,
why you're
totally with his? No, with story? Totally with his direction, his leadership.
Okay.
Whatever the Packers do, and the Packers could win a Super Bowl, but then I would say Seattle probably win one and do better other than the Super Bowl. Am I going too far? You want me to calm down on that? I can't. I mean, like all the teams that talk about they should have taken Michael Jordan. You know, these things that occur, and you realize how different it would have been, and you can't change it, and you got to live with it. I don't know that – have we really had to live with something like that? I don't think so. Like, how'd you let that person get away? And then you just
how the Bucks let Dirk Nowitzki get away. I mean, never really was a Buck. You know what I mean?
Correct. You should tell people that they were. Yes, it had already been traded. They were making the pick for Dallas. They wanted Robert Tractor Trailer because, and Rick Majerus told me that after they drafted him, they thought he was the next Charles Barkley. So yes, they took that pick for Dallas. They had no interest. Dallas was way ahead in the international analysis, right?
I mean, that was Donnie Nelson. Yeah, Donnie Nelson was so wise in the international game. Yeah. So, I mean, they are hypotheticals. You know, would John Schneider have had that level of success running the Green Bay Packers? I mean, that's a hypothetical in and of itself.
Of course. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I can't prove it. But it's bad enough. Go ahead.
He's very sure. I would say this. John Schneider also, you know, good friends with Mike McCarthy. You know, at that time, I mean, would Mike McCarthy still be coaching? Yeah, everything would go differently. Or could have gone differently with one move. So it's the hypothetical game, Homer. It is interesting, though, to extend it beyond just, well, draft choices or this player got away in free agency, et cetera, et cetera. You know, brain drain is a legitimate thing in professional sports. I definitely feel that. You know, and we think, say in baseball, the Brewers are going to crater when Craig Counsell and David Stearns leave. Guess what? They're not. You know what I mean? And that proves your point of their World Series readiness. So systems are in place, and I think the Packers system is in place to remain a very competitive organization. You know, you got to get over that hump, I think, if you're going to call yourself title town and you know, close to elite is not what they're putting on the signs, close to elite.
All right, now, last question, because then I got to go. That's what I'm saying now. I don't care about soccer. However, I want to start it now. The United States, if they could win the World Cup, it would be the greatest athletic achievement ever in the history of the country. And so somebody's got to say, this has got to be done. To make the quarterfinal once in the last literally 100 years is not acceptable. This has to be, again, even for people who don't care about soccer, I'm not a fan of necessarily soccer, but this would be the greatest athlete. And somebody's got to get in charge because what has happened to this point is garbage. One quarterfinal in 100 years can't even beat the Gwaze. So I want to start that today, even though I don't care about soccer. That doesn't matter. This is an athletic achievement that must be done. Take it away, TVV.
Homer, you are the best. I'm going to just, you know, capture what you said there. I don't care, but this must be done, and someone must take charge. I love it. I don't care, but someone must take charge, and this must be done.
Because it's that important,
whole story,
right?
With soccer.
Right, it's that
it's
important.
Are you going to 2 years from now? Are you going to be thinking about this? No, 4 years from now, it's going to be back on your
right.
Radar.
But somebody has to be, because they and I'm telling you this. I'm hiring them, or I'm always going to call Louis Bennett. I'm hiring them and saying, look, in 4 years, if you don't make the quarterfinal, we're firing all of you. Because that's where the standard starts.
The quarterfinal's enough for you, or it's a step for you?
No, it's a step for you. It's a step for us. No, there's only one goal, to win the damn thing. Well, if somebody said, Homer, calm down, you can't get that much better in 4 years, I don't know. But, yes.
The best soccer in the world, Homer, is played in other countries in the period of time between the World Cups. That includes American players playing over there or international players playing, you know, in other countries, etc. I just don't see that rising to the level of concern.
I know,
here
see,
that
that's
presenting it.
Right, that's terrible that you think that way. You can't think that way. And it's not your problem.
You
it's somebody
care.
Else going, doesn't matter. I care about the necessity of it to occur. I can find other people who care.
Okay,
is it necessary?
Who should win? Who should
doesn't
win?
I don't know.
The Olympics
not everybody
America,
plays hockey.
Canada?
Not, hockey well, is not as Finland? Important internationally as soccer. Fine, we'd like to win the gold
that's
medal.
True.
That's not as important as the World Cup. What's more important internationally than the World Cup? Nothing, right?
Well, maybe the money of the World Cup seems to be.
Okay. I mean,
all right. The World Cup
I got work to go.
Monster money-making machine.
All right. Think about who I should contact who could help start
Alex
the process
Strofe.
Of the...
Get Alex Strofe on it, Homer. Apparently,
you're mocking
he can
me.
Do
you're
the
mocking
unthinkable.
Me. Yeah,
the unthinkable.
No. No. Dead squirrel, buddy. You don't get the dead squirrel. Thanks, TVV. Tim Van Born, Fox 6 Sports. I need to talk about Milwaukee weight loss. I don't need to because people were here at the event going, Homer, you look great. Homer, you look great. Go to MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. And like, did I look that heavy? No, it's real simple. Milwaukee Weight Loss, the program, any program that works, that is if you can keep the weight off. So what if you lose it in a month, 2 months? I've been doing this 6 months. I was at 229. I'm at 205. I want to represent Milwaukee Weight Loss for the rest of my life, and I want to live a long time because I know in 3 months more, I'll be at the same. In 12 months more, they have a program that works. I eat less, and I'm happy eating less, and there is no but. But you have to do this. But no, there are no buts. There's no special. You don't even have to exercise. So you go to MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. They got a special $200 offer off. They get $200 off. Think about it. It's just simple. You could do something that could last forever. Why do you have to believe me? Because I tried all kinds of different weight loss things just out of curiosity. None of them work. This one works. Why? Anyone, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. You eat less and you're happy eating less, you will lose weight. And you can call me. You can tell them. I'll explain exactly what worked for me. It may be a little bit different for you, but you don't have to do anything extra. Homer, you didn't tell me about this. Homer, you didn't tell me. There's nothing to not tell you about. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. And golf is next. $200 off, by the way.